Seculo, it's bad. Democrats running scared ahead of the midterm elections. We'll break it down for you and more today on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. This is why it's bad. A new NBC News poll released yesterday registered Joe Biden's approval at 40%. Now, I know other polls have shown it even lower than that, but this is the lowest of the presidency for Joe Biden in that NBC poll. So we're seeing poll after poll showing Joe Biden at the lowest number he's ever been received at using the methods that they use for their polling. So you got that. On top of that, you have people, 39% of Americans approve of the job Joe Biden's doing as president. So you got a 39% approval rating from the Marist College poll. That's down from 47% at the State of the Union. That was at the beginning of the month, last month. I mean, so he is way down. According to Gallup, one in five Americans cited the high cost of living or fuel prices as the most important problem facing the nation. Only 9% said the situation with Russia and Ukraine. 3% said COVID. So we are starting to see, again, a kind of Democrat meltdown. And it's not because Joe Biden's up for re-election. It's because the control of the House and the Senate are in play right now.
It's interesting when you look at the data that the situation in Ukraine and Russia, which is horrific, I think everybody will agree, is not the driving force in the political base right now of the discussion. It is inflation. It is the cost of energy. This is what has the American people concerned. And when you have a domestic problem like this, coupled with a foreign policy that has created problems, it really is a recipe for disaster. Now, I know we're going to go into some of the specific polls in some of the states in a little bit later in the broadcast, but only 9% said the situation with Russia and Ukraine and 3% said coronavirus were the most important. Now, the virus is I think a lot of that's because the success of the situation where the pandemic, we're at least seeing light at the end of the tunnel on this, I think significantly. And on the situation with Russia and Ukraine, only at 9%. I suspect that's because nobody knows what to do. Our foreign policy, our Department of Defense, the planners of all this, didn't have in place what was necessary to proceed. What was the strategy? And the strategy right now is keep NATO out of this, although NATO is very close. But, you know, NATO's staying out of this. Now, there's going to be more talks, and we'll talk about that as well. But I know the gas prices are a big factor. We heard that loud and clear on Friday's broadcast. And if you want to talk to us about that or any of these issues, we're going to open up our phone lines now at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Because we want to hear from you on this. If you're on the road, if you're a trucker, or you're concerned, what are the issues that have you concerned right now the most? We're seeing what the polling data says, what the NBC polls say. I want to know what you think it is. What do you think the approval rating really is? 1-800-684-3110. We'll take your calls as the program progresses.
Yeah, as we said, the title, it's the Democrats saying it's bad. It was a Democrat strategist who said, quote, it's bad. You have an energy crisis that's paralyzing. And inflation is at a 40-year high, and we're heading into a recession. The problem is simple. The American people have lost confidence in Biden. Yeah. So, I mean, and then when you talk about the American people, that means businesses have lost confidence in Joe Biden. The investors have lost confidence in Joe Biden. You see that from this move on the strategic petroleum reserve, and the fact
the
is that
adjustment was 6 cents.
6 cents, and it's a third of our real, you know, the only time the Trump administration tapped into that was during COVID, which was a real actual crisis. It's supposed to be used for when you're dealing with a real crisis, not a self-induced inflation. Now, they try to blame this on Putin and what's happening in Ukraine, but those prices were going up before that. Of course, that exacerbated the issue, but again, that's depleted now one-third. So if we do have a real crisis, like a conflict that we have to enter, that oil reserve has been depleted already because of this plan by a third. So you've only got two-thirds remaining. And you see, it's not about price fixing. That oil reserve is supposed to be there if you need the oil to keep the lights on in your country.
Well, that was the plan. And I think what the Biden administration decided to do was to do anything that they thought would have moved the needle. The problem is, it did not. And our phone lines are jammed. 800-684-3110.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So you've got Joe Biden in the NBC poll, his lowest number ever is at 40%. I know it's been lower in other polls, but that's their metrics. That's what they use. And it's interesting because, you know, there's a 3%. When they ask people, what do you care about most? One in five said it's cost of living or fuel prices. Then it drops considerably in the Gallup poll to 9% saying Russia and Ukraine, 3% saying COVID. Now, interesting on that COVID number, that's where Joe Biden used to shine. Yes. So when that number drops very low, when it's not really impacting America, it's not. Now, there's all talk about new strains and things like that in other parts of the world. But as of this moment, America's open. And when it's open, Joe Biden's numbers drop because when it comes to actually dealing with the economy or even dealing with the war in Ukraine and Russia, his numbers are not good.
And when you were in Washington last week, you said it was much more open.
Much more open to Washington, D.C. So we're starting to see, again, the federal government's still very slow to get back to their offices.
That's for sure.
Congress, because remember, controlled by Democrats, still making it pretty difficult to get inside to meet with a member of Congress. But the Capitol Visitor Center did reopen.
Okay.
And so there's no mask requirements unless it's a private business that requires it. And there's no show your papers anymore in Washington, D.C. That's a big change there. And it's happening in New York as well and in L.A. And so when those states, and also when you see it like Hawaii, the island country, remove their restrictions as well. Joe, you can't blame all this on COVID anymore.
No. And
the
economy
is open.
So the big news last week, of course, was that President Biden had tapped into the petroleum reserves because of the concern on pricing. And Professor Hutchinson was with us and said it would have a minimal, at best, effect on the cost of fuel, which Harry's prognostication was correct because the effect on fuel so far has been about 6 cents, which could have been a number of factors. And if that's all you got reduced from releasing a significant amount of the petroleum reserve, not a very good move.
I think that is correct. And so the Biden administration has made a fundamental mistake. They believe releasing fuel from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve will offset a lot of their bad policy initiatives, which began on day one when the Biden administration took over. They gave up U.S. Energy independence. They shut down the Keystone Pipeline. They gave Europe and Russia permission to restart Nord Stream. So at the end of the day, I am surprised, actually, that Biden's low poll numbers are so high, given the administration's commitment to incompetence. And just as the Biden weakness with respect to Afghanistan and Ukraine has basically incentivized dictators and terrorists, I believe at the end of the day, his trucking summit basically is a sign of weakness.
Yeah.
Why do we need a trucking summit when the Biden administration has engaged in over 70 actions which impair the trucking industry, and when the Biden administration fails to fundamentally understand that the way to move trucking forward, at least right now, is to stop inflation and to lower fuel prices by recovering U.S. energy independence?
We are getting a lot of calls already coming in at 1-800-684-3110 and comments coming in on Facebook and YouTube and Rumble. It's interesting. Richard on YouTube said, Biden can blame Putin all he wants, but America knows who's at fault. Quit passing the buck. You know, and it was interesting because the statistics are that 1 year ago, the price of fuel was $2.87 versus $4.19. But I think the year before that, weren't we in the 190s? I think right around $2. So, I mean, the changes, but, you know, in a couple of years has doubled. We got a lot of calls coming in. Let's go ahead and take a call.
We do. Let's go to Dominique first in Minnesota online, too. Hey, Dominique, welcome to Seculo. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
We're good.
So the question that I am calling on is the fact that you guys asked if what made us lose faith in Joe Biden. Well, the fact is we never had any faith. I'm a small business owner from Minnesota, and I know many other small business owners in this area, and his track record of 40-plus years being in the government with nothing to show for it. There never was any faith.
You know, the biggest statement, of course, on the foreign policy side of this, I know we're not talking about that, is Bob Gates famously said that, you know, Joe Biden's been on the wrong side of every foreign policy decision in the last 40 years. But what, Dominic, what you're saying, which we're hearing a lot, and Harriet's echoing a lot, is there is no faith in the foreign policy, but there's also no faith in the domestic policy of this president right now. And that is what's creating uncertainty in Washington. That's why it's imperative. That's why our Washington, Jordan was just up there in Washington dealing with this. But that's why policies have to be put forward. That makes sense.
I think that is correct. And I think the Biden administration has demonstrated that virtually all of its policies are grounded on shifting sand. Basically, the Biden administration has demonstrated that it is prepared to flee at the sound of a windblown leaf. So rather than enact sound principled policies that put Americans first, that put the U.S. country's interests first, the Biden administration has basically cobbled together a group of so-called experts that believe in nothing. And so at the end of the day, what do we have? We have the Biden administration caving with respect to the Iran nuclear deal. We have the Biden administration caving with respect to its left-wing base, with respect to the so-called Green New Deal. Keep in mind that U.S. energy prices are now set at a price level that the Biden administration initially agreed was a particular goal of the administration. They wanted to see gas prices reach about $4 per gallon. And in many cases, of course.
What is the policy reason why you'd want to see gas at $4 a gallon?
Well, I think it's precisely because they want to incentivize Americans to basically get their energy from so-called alternative sources, which are non-existent.
Yeah.
And so it's important to keep in mind that, for instance, electric cars, which the Biden administration touts, they require energy to produce the batteries. So guess what? Electric cars become more expensive. The average price of an electric car in the United States is around $60,000. The average income in the United States is around $85,000. And so guess what? The Biden administration's policy at the end of the day favors whom? It favors the wealthy and the well-off, and common rank-and-file ordinary people are left in the dust by the Biden administration's policies.
You were with Senator Thune and others last week in Washington. You met with our team, too. What was your sense of what they're thinking?
You know, obviously, things are looking very good for the House Republicans to take back the House. I mean, I don't think Nancy Pelosi is going to be. Yes, all because of this adding up. And it was going to be difficult with, again, a lot of these races in closer seats. There's been redistricting done in by Republican state legislatures as well. But, you know, you turn to the Senate. We're going to do that later in the broadcast. That's where it gets much tighter.
Yeah.
Because you got Republicans who are having to defend for. Incumbencies. A couple of those are open seats, so I mean, you really be candidate based, and we don't know who those will be yet. And then you've got the Democrats, really, with four that they have to really defend, and there may be a fifth you can add there. So you're looking at now. Remember, it's a divided Senate. So Republicans, if they flipped one and held their four, you know, they take the majority. So you could have the House and the Senate flip. Either way, and I think this was the bigger takeaway message. The House goes Republicans. The Biden agenda is dead.
Right.
I mean, dead. Like we saw really more. You know, like because we're so partisan right now, we're talking about zero legislation moving through unless the Senate is willing and Biden ultimately is willing to sign on to what would be predominantly Republican compromise legislation, which would be pretty difficult considering he won't even do that with his own more moderate base.
Yeah, no, he's definitely had to go to the left side of his party.
Well, the second message out of Washington was really that the far left, which I've been repeating on this show over and over and over again, is no longer the far left. They are the mainstream of the Democrat
Party. Is the party.
And they are in control. They run the White House. They run who gets to see the president. They run the policies. That's what Harry's talking about, getting the, you know, jacking up gas prices. And they actually like that idea because ultimately it plays into their Green New Deal plan. Yes. So they don't really care about Joe Biden. They care about the bigger Democrat Party.
Howard on YouTube had an interesting comment. Who else believes that the 40% approval rating for President Biden is inflated just as much as our economy is?
I think it is a little high. I mean, other polls have showed him below 40. Yeah. But you got to remember, and I always like to tell the truth to our audience, about half the country would vote for Joe Biden again.
Yes. I mean,
it's very close in our country. It's very divided. So it's all about who can get the 4% or 5%. That's going to trickle down into these... Now, the Senate races, especially when they're statewide races, you still got to convince that middle to come out and vote Republican. We're coming back on Secular. We're taking your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Back to secular. We're going to get back to these issues in the second half hour of the broadcast, the poll numbers, the gas prices, all of that, and we'll continue to take your calls. So keep getting those calls in at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. But there is a big victory, and we like to highlight the work the ACLJ is doing here in the U.S., but also around the world. It's always a good reminder. We have an office, a fully functioning office in Pakistan. It's called the Office for Legal Aid. It's our Pakistan affiliate office, and they've just secured a huge victory for a poor Pakistani Christian family who were forced into basically slavery, or what would in Pakistan under their law they are considered bonded labor.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, these cases take direct hands-on litigation. And when Jordan talks about we have a functioning office there, I mean, we have people on the ground, we have an office, we have investigators, we work with lawyers. So let's talk, Cece Heil, who supervises all this for us, let's talk about the situation. You got a Christian family in Pakistan in, quote, bonded labor. Let's talk about what that is.
Yeah, part. So the way that they actually got into this situation was it was a boss who is our client. It was his brother that worked for this Muslim cattle farmer and apparently borrowed some money from him. And then a boss's brother, who was working for this cattle farmer, died 2 years ago. So what does the cattle farmer do? He goes and he abducts a boss, his wife, and six children to now come work for him, forced to be working for him to pay off this supposed loan that was not paid off.
So there was this fake loan that never existed between the brother and the Muslim cattle rancher, basically. No evidence that this document actually exists.
Right. And sometimes there are loans that are entered into, but usually they're paid off several times over. But there's no documents to show that.
So when you say they abducted, I mean, this is what people need to understand in the West. What does that mean?
So they literally went and took them. I mean, physically against their will, took them, brought them to the cattle farm. And for 2 years, a boss and his wife and six children were there, forced to work. The wife was forced to work as a maid. A boss was forced to work in the fields. And then the wife actually was able to escape just recently. And she came almost directly to our offices, and that's when we were able to jump into action.
So we've got this office in Pakistan that does cases all over the country. What happened then?
So a boss's wife and the three children that she was able to get out of the six came to our office, told us the situation. Our attorneys there immediately filed a writ of habeas corpus, which means bring the body before the judge. And so the judge immediately ordered the police to go out and rescue a boss and the remaining three children, which the police did. They were brought before the judge in the court. And then we were able to argue because obviously the cattleman had his attorney there saying this is completely fine because they owe us money. We were able to argue no, because of the Bonded Labor Act, you cannot keep, it's completely illegal. And so we were able to rescue a boss and the remaining three children.
So the three children have been freed and the father. The mother's already been out.
Yes, and the mother's are. So we have the family, the mother, father, and the six children are completely free, and we did it over 2 days.
Yeah, so let me tell you this, folks. There's not a lot of organizations that have on-the-ground capabilities to do this. We don't talk about them till they're done because of the nature of the sensitivity of the cases. But this is not an unusual situation for us. That one was resolved in the last few days. There'll be another one probably tomorrow. I mean, it's just the way it is over there.
Yeah, and you have to really commit because you've got a situation where you got to go to court. So you win in court, but then you have to have the police, the local police, actually enforce the court order. We're used to in America that kind of being a natural thing. Not so in Pakistan, especially when you are representing a minority group, which is the Christians in Pakistan, who are also happen to be on the bottom usually when it comes economically. Mm-hmm. So they're also they're the poorest community in Pakistan. And they are they're of course a religious minority in a predominantly Muslim country. So to get the police, who are predominantly Muslim, and you win in court, and you get so you have the law on your side, you get the court order, then you got to get the police to actually enforce it, because what you don't want to get involved in Pakistan is this vigilante justice system, which is a problem that we have to deal with a lot of times, because they will try, you know, villages and towns will turn on this Christian minority. We'll see people be beaten, even killed because of because they treat them as second-class citizens there.
I need to say this. This is a very active office for us. Again, we don't talk about it often. I mean, occasionally we'll bring it up, but there are other countries where we operate the same way, and we don't talk about it a lot. But this one we wanted to talk about because it gives hope to the people in Pakistan, to this Christian family, because ultimately we got a victory for them and get them out of servitude, which is, this is slavery. And it was a great victory. But I want to move to another topic, and that is this whole Human Rights Council issue. There's a move. President Biden said, you know, the Russia war crimes, looks like war crimes. Boy, you see, as they moved out of some of the Kiev area, it sure looks like it. The Human Rights Council, Russia is on there. There is a move to remove them. Now, again, unique experience here at the American Center for Law and Justice and our international affiliates. Jordan and Sisi have appeared before the Human Rights Council at the United Nations, so they know a lot about this. But let's first talk about, Jordan, from your end, the move to get Russia out, and then we're talking about technically how that works.
Yeah, I mean, it's absurd to have a country that is engaged in one, I mean, a war of choice. So they decided to go invade Ukraine. Ukraine did nothing to them. There were words they didn't like. They didn't like that Ukraine was the idea of Ukraine joining NATO, but they hadn't joined NATO yet. They hadn't been approved. There was no indication that NATO was going to take Ukraine anytime soon. So, again, a lot of making up excuses to go in. But then, of course, when they went in, have they so far conducted a strategic war against military targets? No. They flattened towns. We're starting to see more and more evidence of the Russian style of a military invasion is this. Going back long into history, and you go short term too. You can go back and look what happened in Chechnya. You can look what happened in the country of Georgia as well. It is a strategy where you take and you destroy everything, and that includes people too: women, children, elderly, non-military, non-combatants. And we're starting to see the evidence of people with their hands.
So that evidence is being gathered,
right? Evidence is being gathered, and we're seeing this war in real time. Having those seats, having those opportunities to vote on anything at the Human Rights Council or have any influence, we've seen at the Security Council questions about that.
Yeah, they're not getting doing
so,
right there.
So there is a move that they have now become number one world pariah.
Yeah, so they're on the Human Rights Council. To remove them, what is it going to take?
Yeah,
and
so
we have NGO status with the United Nations, so we're involved.
It takes a two-thirds by the General Assembly, a two-thirds majority of the members present voting. They can suspend the rights of membership in the council of a member of the council that commits gross and systemic violations of human rights. And when you're killing civilians, when you've invaded a sovereign nation, I think that constitutes gross and systemic violations of human rights.
The question will be whether the votes are there, Jordan, to do it.
Yeah, I mean, Russia still has, there's a lot of non-aligned countries. That means they're not aligned with the West or the East, and they kind of vote and listen. It comes down to where China is.
Yep.
If China is telling these countries to support Russia, then Russia is okay at the UN. But what we have seen is the Chinese come out and they've been very cautious about what Russia, and they have seen the world's reaction, which I think, you know, again, there was a lot of talk that they would go right into Taiwan during this. I think the reason they haven't yet is because they saw the world's reaction to this kind
of
invasion.
Yeah, so folks, we got another half hour of the broadcast coming up, and we're going to be taking your calls. We're going to get back on the economy issues, but we wanted to give you updates on our legal work. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Don't forget, matching challenge campaign starting for April today. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for, but do call us. Let us know your thoughts on these other issues. 800-684-3110. Back literally in 1 minute. Share this feed with your friends on social media.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome back to Seculo. Folks, we are taking your phone calls. We're getting back to the economy. We're going to get into more politics as well. A lot of people ask, you know, the House is one thing. We know that there's 30-plus Democrats retiring from the House, and it's not looking good. I mean, if elections were held today, Republicans take back the House, Nancy Pelosi will not be Speaker again. But again,
when people say this, because you've had a lot of political experience here. So when people say, though, but it's early.
Yeah.
Is it still early?
It still is early because, again, 7 months, you just cannot predict what is going to happen around the world. You can't predict. First of all, primaries matter. So the primaries are really just starting to take fold next month. And so we're going to start seeing who the candidates are going to be. A lot of these where the Democrats did retire or there's been redistricting, you have very competitive primaries going on right now on the Republican side. So we have to see, are they good candidates? Or did someone get through who is maybe going to be too far to the right for that district? Or did someone, you know, so did the right people get through? Right now we're talking generic ballot, which means Republican versus Democrat, who do you pick? Republicans winning there. When you get into the Senate, we're going to do this next segment, it's a much finer balance. Now, we know, I mean, it's a 50-50 Senate right now. You've got a third of the Senate up every time there's an election cycle. So you don't have everybody up. It's not like the House. And I think there's a little bit of that candidate focused, who gets through the primaries. But also, I mean, these are very much people will go through. These are on the line states when you look at the statewide races where Republicans may have had a tough time in the last election cycle. When the presidential election, these were most of those states that were in the news a lot about the election because they flipped.
All states, by the way, that we're on air. So if you're in Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, New Hampshire, Colorado, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Wisconsin, or Florida, talk to us about what's happening in your local community, well, on your statewide races or your congressional races. We want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, New Hampshire, Colorado, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Wisconsin, and Florida. Again, 800-684-3110. The good news is we're on radio in every one of those states, and of course on our social media platforms around the world. But it'd be great to hear from folks on how you see it, especially, you know, I'd like to know what the Georgia people are thinking about the Herschel Walker race. That's a very fascinating one. You've got Arizona, really hotly contested primaries. And how do these primaries impact the general?
They can really impact the general. In fact, some of the non-federal primaries can impact the general. I think in Georgia, one that is top is that you've got a gubernatorial primary, the incumbent Kemp being challenged by Perdue, the former U.S. senator there. It's a very close race. And Perdue backed by Trump, Kemp backed by a lot of the traditional Republicans in the state, even people who do like Trump. Yep. And so that can divide the party. Then if one is going to lose, one is going to win. And do you have a situation where you probably need President Trump getting in there for Herschel Walker saying, you know, regardless of if your guy for governor won or lost, you got to get out there and vote, which was an opposite message of what we saw in the special elections last time around, which was this idea of don't even trust the system.
Yeah, and if you do the don't trust the system, then people don't show up, and that's how you ended up with two seats going from Republicans to Democrat in the state of Georgia. So you don't want to see that happen. But this is the body politic. This affects everything. Like Jordan said, if the House and the Senate get into control of the Republicans, the Biden agenda is over. It's done. You'll pass some budget legislation. Maybe you can get some compromises where the Republicans have a plan and Biden will be willing to do it, but not likely. And then you're going to go right into the general election for president of the United States months later. This is going to move really quick. So it's fair to say it's still early because, like Jordan said, 7 months in politics is a lifetime. But you want to know something? It could change really quick if the Republicans were to get the House and the Senate, and vice versa, if the Democrats keep both. That would be a big deal. I don't see them keeping both.
It's very difficult to see that in the House. Just no poll is showing that. Every poll is showing that Speaker Pelosi is done in the House. And effectively, that kills the Biden agenda. I mean, it's already been very tough for them. But, I mean, it goes to next level of difficulty. And really, the only way to get anything done legislatively will be to compromise with Republicans. But, again, that would be they can't even compromise amongst themselves right now.
And I want to know, what are the issues? Is it the economy? Is it foreign policy? Is it inflation? What's the issue that you're most concerned with? 1-800-684-3110. We heard from a lot of truckers last week. That was for sure. Energy. 1-800-684-3110. We'll take your questions as we come back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
To Secular. So we are going to be talking Senate races. We're talking about the economy, talking about issues that affect you in this segment. We're going to take a lot of your phone calls. So we pulled together, like, kind of, people have been asked about this because the House, you know, you got all 435 are up for re-election. And listen, it looks like it's going to turn. Now, a turn could be like a 20-seat majority is now a big majority in the House. Like, yeah. most of the seats in the country are blue or red. And so, while the primaries have a lot of significance, because you basically, if like you're in a red congressional district, whoever wins the primary is going to be the congressman or congresswoman, and same in a blue district. So these purple districts are becoming less and less as we become more and more partisan. And I'm not saying that's a good thing in our country, but it's just the truth. So then when you look at the states, it's even more so on a smaller level. When you take out states that are deeply blue and take out states that are deeply red, how do you get past where we have a Senate right now which really reflects exactly what I'm talking about, 50-50 in our country? It is exactly 50-50 in the U.S. Senate. The only reason the Democrats are in charge is because they control the White House and the vice president serves as the president of the Senate and can cast that tie-breaking vote. So you look at the races there, and then we're going to get your phone calls. So number one on the list, these are top opportunities for Republicans, is Georgia. Looks like it will be Herschel Walker is going to be the nominee. There are some other people running. It's a May 24th primary, so we're getting close to being about 6 weeks, 7 weeks out from finding out who the candidates are, and then it's a one-on-one race for a few months. And that's when the nastiness really begins.
Georgia gubernatorial primary will also be that date, right?
Yes, May 24th. So you'll also know. Now, I really think it's not so much who wins that. It's that one group is going to win that. Kemp or Perdue.
So you got to unite the party.
You've got to be able to unite, and it's been very divisive there in Georgia, because Kemp spent most of his career working through the Republican Party in Georgia. So the activists for the party, the grassroots activists for the party, like Kemp. Perdue is more of the Trump voter who came in, and how does that translate into the primary? But again, that can impact Herschel Walker, because what you don't want is half the Republicans in the state to say, you know what, I don't care. Remember, Stacey Abrams is taking on whoever wins that race. There's going to be a big Democrat.
And it's a close state.
Very close. But, so that's a likely one. Then you look to Arizona. Senator Kelly, the former astronaut, very close there. There's a few front runners, including the AG, businessman, and a couple of people in business there. That primary is not until August 1st. That's a very late primary until you find out who will be the challenger there. Nevada. It looks like it'll be the Attorney General Adam Laxalt. Yeah, I know he's done a lot of work with our with Rick Rinnell. Yeah. Has done a lot of work with his campaign. But again, you're going against an incumbent there in Cortez Masto. So that's number three on our list. Number four right now would be New Hampshire. The incumbent Maggie Hassan. There's a few leading candidates there in the Republican side. It's not till September.
These are so late.
These get very late till you know. And then a big drop after this. But I will say Colorado's still in the mix there. You've got a big Republican primary. That's in June. You got incumbent Michael Bennett, who survived these challenges a couple of times now. When you flip to where is it tough for Republicans to defend? So those were the seats that Democrats are having to defend the hardest. Pennsylvania, Toomey retiring, yep. So it's open.
There's a lot of Republicans running in that race.
Yes, so that's where you got Dr. Oz is very high profile in the race. Yep. He's evened up in the polls there. A lot of money being spent. North Carolina, Burr retiring. So you've got a May 17th primary, a July 26th runoff. But again, those are two states that Democrats have done well in statewide.
Both Pennsylvania and North Carolina are May 17th, so they're pretty soon.
Yep, and then you go to Wisconsin, incumbent Ron Johnson. He's the Democrat primary August 9th.
Yep.
And then in Florida, this one might surprise people.
Shocking,
When you have the support you've seen for like Governor DeSantis. And I don't know how long this will play out, but right now, Marco Rubio versus likely it would be Congresswoman Val Demings.
Impeachment.
That's what I was going to say. People probably remember her most likely from the impeachment hearings.
Yep.
Former sheriff.
Yep.
I think
popular.
Yeah, popular state, law enforcement. And so you'll see we will get another test there because Florida's been pretty solidly red the last few election cycles. Has it turned back to being that swing state that it used to be in the early 2000s? It has not been so far in the last few cycles. So, again, you see there, that's the Senate. I mean, one or two going the right way is going to be who controls it. I think the big picture, though, good news for Republicans is you'll be able to put a full-on stop on most of the Biden agenda. Because right now the House looks like it's going solidly Republican.
Do you buy the numbers people are saying 60 seats?
I mean, it could be a total of 60 where it's a net of like, then it's a net of like 25, 30.
Yeah.
But that would again be the kind of biggest victories you could see out of there. So when you add that, you're really netting 25. You know, that would be big. I think netting anything over 20 is huge.
I think we're going to take phone calls, and we're going to take phone calls in the last segment, folks. The issues that matter to you, 1-800-684-3110, and you know we're listening because our Office of Government Affairs then engages with members of the House and Senate to engage these issues.
Yeah, let's go to Ross in California, online too. Hey, Ross, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Hey, Jordan. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Ross.
Yeah, it's great to speak to you. And before you we get to get the thoughts, we have Brian Dolley is our state senator, and he's going to be running against Newsom, and we just hope that he can do something there. And so that's that's what I'm rooting
for. That's a tall order. And California is our largest listening audience because of just the size of your cities, and we're on up and down all of the state. But that's a tall order in California. But go ahead with your comment.
Okay, yeah. Well, I've just opened it, yeah. So as far as this, I'm a small business owner in Northern California, and this fuel is just affecting us so much up here because it's all diesel equipment. And, I have five guys working for me, five men,
yep.
And we have a logging business in Northern California, and it's just this fuel situation. Last year we spent $37,000 in fuel costs, and this year it's going to be over $50,000.
Yep.
And when you have a small profit margin to begin with,
makes it tough. Where are you where in Northern California do you operate out of, Ross?
Mount Shasta.
Okay. So, according to CNBC, the national average of diesel fuel is right now about $5.12 a gallon. You're probably paying more in California, right?
Yeah, it's about $6.10.
Okay. The price of diesel 1 year ago, this time last year, was $2.03 less, so it was around $3. Now, I'd be curious to go back a year before that when we were energy independent. And this is the problem when you lose energy independence. And this is why policies matter. Because when an administration shuts down pipelines in the United States that make us then dependent upon foreign fuel, including from our allies, like the Gulf states, did you notice, Jordan? They said, no, we're not going to produce more supply and demand is what they told the White House.
Yeah, I mean, this is right. I mean, so they don't trust this White House because these would all be investments that you're bringing down the future price of oil. So if you knew that that this administration really unleashed the investment.
Yeah.
That's how you bring down the price. Obviously, these are multi-year, even longer program. You know, if you're going to start rebuilding Keystone, rebuild things like that. So all of that would take significant time, but it would bring the price down. But for none of these companies trust the Biden administration. Why would you? Would you trust Mayor Pete? Would you trust the Biden administration on allowing that investment to continue when they shut it all down the first day on the job? No. So even when they try to encourage, like they're going to announce a trucking action plan this afternoon to build supply chain reliance through better quality trucking jobs. I don't think the problem is that the jobs. I hear the commercial their availability. The problem is the bottom line doesn't add up anymore because the bottom line includes having to pay so much more for gas. So it's not that, do you really want to trust?
That really impacts people in their daily lives, that cost.
Yeah, I mean, diesel has doubled in 2 years.
I mean, think about that for a minute.
Yeah, I used to have a diesel SUV. There's not many of those. And it was great because even though diesel was always a little bit more, usually, I mean, you got like triple the mileage out of it, and it was fairly clean these days. I know that that's not where car companies are going, of course, you know, but again, when it starts getting to over $5, $6 in other states, and you start seeing gas at $6 and $7 in other states, it's impacting everybody. We're going to continue to take your phone calls. So we come back from the break. Hang on the line. 1-800-684-3110. If you're in these states I just talked about, Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, New Hampshire, Colorado, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Wisconsin, and Florida, how do you feel about your Senate races in those states? Because they're either heavily being defended by Republicans or Democrats. And again, you're going to start seeing, as you get closer to the primaries being over in some of these states, some of the very late primaries, that it's going to get very intense. And how does the Trump voter play in as well is going to be very important because we don't know who, in many of these states yet, we don't have the candidate yet for who's going to be challenging an incumbent. Sometimes they're both going to be open. So give us a call at 1-800-684-3110.
Those primaries really can affect. We got to
turnout.
When you are done, when the primary is over, folks, the battle is not over. And if your candidate doesn't win the primary, your policy of your party, Democrat or Republican, goes forward. So don't ignore, because don't be a sore loser, in other words.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that, again, look at numbers. This is truly a numbers game in Washington, D.C. And you might have to kind of, you know, hold your nose maybe on your vote, but you got to get out there and do it. Or else Democrat Party is going to continue to unite and shock, win these shock elections where Republicans feel all this energy and they don't show up.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
come back to Secchio. We're going to start taking more of your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Mona in Indiana on line one right away. Hey, Mona, welcome to Secchio. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Good. So I have a couple of questions. One, is there any way that our Senate and House can Lou Biden can open up the production of our oil? And two, isn't this just kind of his continuing plan to drive our economy and our nation to our knees? So Trump.
Yeah, I mean, here, I'd say this, Mona. I think, you said you're a trucker, too. So you hear the row. But Congress can – listen, this Congress is not doing that. So Democrat Congress controlling the House and the Senate, they're not going to put on the pressure legislation. There's always the veto power, and there are not the numbers. We're not going to see those numbers anyways in the next election cycle to override a veto on most issues. But can you start putting legislation on its debt? Yes. If Republicans do take back the House and the Senate, to get the legislation on the desk, you got to take back both. You can stop anything with just taking back one,
right,
by the House. But to get actually legislation on his desk, to get the pressure up, you got to take the House and the Senate. Then you can start putting pressure
real
legislation
pressure.
Because you can. The Congress has, as we always said, it's like it's kind of goes back to the core civics lessons, but they have the power of the purse. They have the budget, so they can start utilizing that power. But it's going to take Republican victories in the House and the Senate to start putting that kind of pressure campaign on the Biden administration.
But, you know, I know we already said this, but Will Haynes, our producer, pointed this out, and it's true. So the diesel, we asked.
But I think it's probably a four-year plan.
Yeah.
I think if we take it back, they're the far left. They're just going to say no to legislation.
Yes.
So you got to be ready for that. It's not going to be like you're going to get a lot of Republican victories at taking back the House.
Victories is stopping things.
You're going to stop the crazy
That's
legislation.
A victory.
And ultimately, Bill, you got to really take the next presidential cycle very seriously to turn this ship around.
Yes, because if you had a situation where you had the White House, the House, and the Senate, then you can really get things done. That's 3 years from now. 2.5, I guess, really only. This is interesting, though. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. We asked Will to check what the price of gas, diesel was. And actually, it's doubled, as we said earlier, in 2 years. And then, of course, as we'll point out, that doubling costs more and everything. But I want you to have this sink in for a moment. It doubled in 2 years. In 2 years, the price of diesel fuel, which is most of the logistics trucks are using, doubled in 24 months. And you can't blame all this on Vladimir Putin. Let's go ahead and take another phone call.
Yeah, let's go to Bill in Montana on line three. Hey, Bill, welcome to Secular. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I think in all my adult years, I'm 74 years old, I've never seen such an epic failure in a president in his administration. My wife and I both, we live primarily on Social Security, so yep. We understand the economy and the cost of it and the effect it's having on families. But I'll tell you what, that's not the most critical issue to me. Because the most critical issue to me also affects our economy on many different levels, and that is the fact that we have a crisis, national security crisis on our southern border, yeah. And every person that crosses costs tax dollar money. They have to be taken care of. Those tax dollars have to be replenished, and that affects every single American.
And Bill, if you think it's bad today, Title 42 being rescinded, the numbers I've heard, I was looking at this weekend, are staggering. The number of people that will be coming into the United States illegally or that will come in and have to be processed with hearings, removing all these emergency provisions we had in place, it is going to totally shut down the immigration and naturalization system, totally shut it down and create chaos on the southern borders.
Yeah, I mean, I use Ukraine as this example to show when they talk about the numbers in Ukraine. That's an average year for the U.S. I mean, when you're talking hundreds of thousands of people in a month, you know, those 500,000 months,
right.
That's what the U.S. is taking in. Now, we're a bigger country than these other countries, but I think it's just important to understand that states are starting to be very concerned. So you've got, it's interesting, Mark Kelly, who's out in Arizona,
he's
and
concerned.
Kristen Sinema, both Democrats in the U.S. Senate told the Biden administration do not repeal Title 42. There's a legal action being taken place. This is
Arizona AG.
Arizona's AG. They fought along with two other states. Take a listen by one.
We just filed a lawsuit. We are filing another lawsuit against the Biden administration. And basically, we know that their attempt to rescind Title 42 will lead to drastic consequences on our southern border. And right now, it's essentially on fire. And this is, will be like throwing gasoline on a fire. So we want to stop the Biden administration from rescinding Title 42 because it may be one of the most boneheaded decisions of this administration. And they have done a lot of dumb things.
Yeah, and he's, by the way, he's one of the front runners for the GOP nomination. For the Senate race in Arizona. But the Title 42 issue is going to impact every city in the country. Everyone is going to be impacted by this because as that southern border becomes porous again and opens wide up, okay, the interstates become the sex trafficking, drug trafficking. That's where it all goes. And there's and the Border Patrol people are saying there's no way they can control this. Will not happen. Can't process these people. It's going to be catch and release. It may not even be catch. It just may be there's nothing we can do. That's what we're looking at, with no support from our other countries, the countries of origin anymore, because the position of the Biden administration is whatever the Trump administration did, even if it worked, we're not going
to
do.
Yeah, I mean, and you take a listen to that Attorney General again. If you listen closely, he said it's already on fire. So it's not like things are so great at the border right now, but we're getting into what's considered the warm season. That's where more people make the decision to join those caravans, immigrate en masse. Because the weather is more permissible than potentially very cold temperatures that you can't survive. So that's when you get, again, you overwhelm the system. And the problem is, like you said, when you overwhelm the system, you get a humanitarian crisis. You get kids in cages again. You get a drug crisis. You get a drug cartel crisis. That's different. That's just illegal activity. Human trafficking crisis, sex trafficking crisis. So all of the bad effects from just having the massive people at our border.
Look at the statistic. Customs and Border Patrol sources say there's been over 300,000 gotaways. That means people at the border that just got in, they couldn't touch. And that's in the last 6 months. Now, 62,000 of those came in March alone.
Yeah. So these are the low months.
Yes.
The low months, 62,000 people that we are taking in. And then think about it. Those are people who they just said they had no contact with. They got through. They broke the law. Now they're inside the United States. How many of those people are hauling fentanyl? How many of those people are hauling our sex traffickers and kids who are now being abused by the system? Instead of saying, you know what, like every other sovereign country in the world, we're going to defend our border and have a legal process to go through. And again, these are, we know that the majority of these people would not win a normal asylee seeking case. There's not this many asylum seekers.
No, they're not leaving their country of origin because of the fear of harm.
Right. And economic issues is not enough to claim asylum. So while you can have compassion for people who want to be in the United States, how about care about the people who are doing it legally first? And disincentivize the criminals, the coyotes, the cartels, and it all ties back to China too. It all ties back to China. So again, I think that all of these issues, they're economic, they're inflationary, they're impacting our economy. And if those are the issues that people are voting on next November, Republicans win the House and they take back the Senate. But again, we will have to see where we are in November. We will talk to you tomorrow on Seculo.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.